When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
Get a load of these!
Shut up, Brandy!
Real Girl Dot Video going! Oh, yeah!
Hey, gang, it's Kenny Thomas!
Kenny!
Dylan Clone Gene! Available everywhere!
Beanie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome to Jerry's Taco World. Would you like to try a burrito?
Long time listener, first time caller.
No! Here you go, Crisco.
Oh, my.
Hey, it worked. They're gone.
Hey, welcome to Bob and Tom's Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold. Joining me is Jess Alsman and Jess Hooker. Jess and Jess, how you guys doing?
Hey, Willie.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Other Jess?
Other Jess.
Do we need to go by our last names on this?
I don't know. I was thinking about dyeing my hair, too.
Oh, crap.
There's a lot to do.
We have regular Jess and purple Jess joining us. She's got purple hair. That was a hell of an intro by Jason Hofsetz. That was really, really good.
That was awesome.
Yay.
There's a lot to pull from.
Oh, I bet.
Let's put it that way, yes.
So yeah, this is Bits and Pieces, and basically we're just going to listen to old Bob and Tom bits, things that you've heard on the show, segments, songs, just kind of our favorite things, a best of, a greatest hits kind of thing. So should we just get right into it? Listen to our first bit?
Let's do it.
Dear Penthouse. I'm a freshman at a small Midwestern university, and I never thought something like this could happen to me. When my teacher with the dynamite asked me to stay after class, and she started to undress, I can't forget the statement she made. Drop your pants, I'll raise your grade. Dear Penthouse, I'm a seaman first class at an overseas naval base. It's been 7 long months since I've seen a woman's face. When I saw your recent issue, I took a box of Kleenex tissue and I locked the barracks door. Thanks to you, I've gotten a grip. Please excuse my jerky penmanship. I've read every issue since 1974. The first 2 years behind the bathroom door. I bored through every penthouse I could find. Even though my mom said I'd go blind.
Dear Penthouse, doing sports on the radio has always been my job. I've never wanted a man until I noticed Bob. When we're close, I start to perspire. His little bun set my loins on fire. And I dream about the day he'll say, "Chick, let's get undressed." Name and address withheld upon request.
Dear Penthouse, it's a classic. Now, I think, so this week we all picked our own bits. I'm going to guess this was an Osmond pick?
This was mine! Oh my gosh, as a kid. So I grew up listening to the show, early 90s.
Absolutely.
And this is one of the songs that my brother and I would sing along to, and I didn't even know what I was singing, and ended up getting in trouble in school.
Yeah.
And we would always make the joke, even though my mom say I'd go blind. I didn't even know what he was talking about.
Yep.
Just masturbation. Yeah. Now.
There are so many jokes like that. Like when I was a kid, I didn't get, but I knew that it was supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Right.
I remember in Pat Godwin has a song about John Fox, about the comedy condos he would stay in, about comedians talking about they wouldn't want to stay in the comedy condo, in the comedy condos. And there's a line where he goes, so don't drink the apple juice and don't eat the mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. And I got the apple juice part. But in my head, I was like, now what could he have done to that mayonnaise?
He didn't put it back in the fridge.
You think it's expired? Yeah, he left it out. That could give you salmonella. That could be bad. And then I remember like going to my older brother being like, hey, what's the mayonnaise thing? And I must have been like 11 years old. He was like, you'll figure it out. I'm just going to let you figure this one out.
Yeah.
Isn't it the best as a kid, though, just repeating stuff you hear on the show, specifically the Bob and Tom show, pre-Janet Jackson, Timberlake incident, Super Bowl. And just adults laughing, but then they say, don't repeat that. Don't do that. And then you do it at school, and they're like, what are you doing? You can't sing that in school. And I don't even know what Penthouse was. But the song is so great. Bob is fantastic. And then verse three, Chick comes in.
Right.
So I knew that there was in the third letter that it was a different voice. And I remember going, oh, that's Bob. And that's Bob again. And then when we were listening to it, I was like, who's the third voice on this? And I couldn't remember the third letter. And whenever he does those types where it's him and it's not him, I love that.
I love
when Chick does that. Yeah,
he plays it up so well. So wait, maybe this is where Mr. Hofstetz over here needs to chime in. Does Tom just like hearing Chick pretend to be a homosexual?
I don't know, but that was such a theme for the show, and I grew up and I kind of was like, well, is he? I remember like not knowing.
It doesn't sound disrespectful at all. It sounds so genuine and heartfelt that he would like to rub up against Bob and his mustache.
It was genuine, right?
Yeah. He is a very passionate man, so you really don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Chick just cares, you know?
Yeah, he does.
He just puts himself out there.
Oh, the Chick, let's get it on.
I don't know the full background of the writing of that, because that predates when I was even an intern, but it feels like it was a Bob song.
Oh yeah.
And then Tom came in and wrote the lyrics for Chick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like he just kind of hijacked that little piece there.
Well, it's a really funny turn, and it's like, it's a thing you see on SNL all the time where like they'll do a fake song and then of course the third verse, now it's the musical guest as a part of the fake song.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they bring a ringer in.
Yeah.
And so doing that, just having that turn, and then just the delight that it is actually Chick, and then the final joke of please redact my name. Oh, that's so funny.
And I think that's where, I mean, Tom has such a talent, but in his ability, when you would like, oh, I've got to run to, like back in the day, like so-and-so's at the shack, they're recording something, and then so-and-so would record something else. But then when everybody heard everybody's part come together for the first time on the air, like there was like the buzz and the feel and everybody hearing it for the first time, what Chick said, what Bob said, like that felt magical. Like,
yeah, it's authentic.
Yes.
So many people say, oh, it's just fake laugh. Do they use like a laugh track? Yeah. They just hit a button. I'm sure after a certain point, they've figured out their laugh, how to project it a little bit more. But it's authentic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which that makes me wonder, did Tom write that verse for Bob as a surprise and Bob didn't hear it until it played?
I know it's happened on other bits 100%, but I don't know. That's so early. I don't know if Tom had realized that, like that magic that he created in doing that at the time.
Well, so here's what I know when my dad would put his hands all over a project, the day that it was coming in for air, it was kind of like there was this like weird, like sort of just like air in the car of like, we all knew like, don't mess with dad. Is he nervous about Casket Carnival? He does not know. He is losing his mind. And then if it goes well, great. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't go well, he'll just come. You know, I don't think Chick's listening when we play the bits. I mean, what's going on? Gosh, is it so? Because he takes the, so he could take it very personally. You know?
Oh yeah, it's from his heart. I know that the material is silly and funny, and there's a lot of D jokes and that type of thing. But he really loves doing this, and it is such a, like a, I don't know if I should say, like a heart project, but it kind of feels like it is with Tom. It really
it's
is.
It's not just fart jokes. They are witty fart jokes.
Yeah. Well, it's like from like kind of like a stand-up point of view, it's like that thing of when you give your friend a tag, like he does a joke and you go, hey, maybe you should say this, and then it works well. Mm-hmm. But then there's the opposite of you're like working a whole weekend with somebody and the last show you're like, hey, what if you tried this? And then they do it and it doesn't work. And no one in the audience knows, but you're just back there like, why the hell did I tell him to say that?
You're like, yeah. It's all their fault. They had the choice. They had the choice.
Yeah. Do you know what year this was?
Oh, goodness. Penthouse was probably early 90s.
Very
early 90s. I should have looked up the year, but I did not recall.
95? Playing at Bob and Tom?
If it was playing at Bob and Tom, it was 95, yeah. Gosh, I didn't realize it was that late.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was because that song was in heavy rotation when I was growing up. That was one that I'd hear a lot.
Yeah. And what year were you born?
93.
Okay.
And to be fair, that was an edit. I think there was actually more than three. I think there were a few other verses, like a Sid Gurney.
Oh,
a handful of them. But Chick was definitely the surprise that
That's
came around.
That's a good song to constantly add new verses to from someone else.
Yeah,
like Donnie Baker doing a Dear Paint House.
Well, and I think they might have during the live days. Probably did the few little extra stuff.
That's what I was just saying.
Oh, you mean like a 2020 version? Yeah.
Or 2020.
Yeah.
Or
no, but I think I'm thinking of the live days like you are, Jason. Like I was like, no, this went on for a while.
Yes.
I want to hear everybody do a new verse. I want Josh's verse.
That would be fun.
We could arrange that.
Oh my gosh, that would be a great morning
Dear
to do
Pornhub. Yeah, that's what it would be.
I have a feeling there's either two options. I go to my dad and I go, hey, Dear Penthouse. And he gets a little magic in his eye and goes, oh, maybe. Or I go, hey, Alsman said we could do Dear Penthouse. He goes, that would never work nowadays.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one knows who Penthouse is.
No one knows what that is.
Did they even make?
We would have to do Dear Pornhub, and then he got his hands on it, so he'd get a little excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm wrong on Planet Bob and Tom. It says there's Dear Penthouse 2.
There you go. See, there might have been just a few, probably the same music,
earlier,
a few extra people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think it was early 90s.
Man,
it's a classic. And then it does one of my favorite things when someone comes into a bit late, and then you figure out that it's actually them. The really classic one I can think of is Bob used to come on a lot of bits, and it would go, dun, dun, hi, I'm Bob Cavoyne. It's one of my favorite little Bob.
I feel like I just got goosebumps when you did that, because whenever he would do that, I just, was awesome.
Yeah, I might steal that. That could be mine now.
You should do it.
No, I'm just kidding. should we go into the next bit? Hear what else we got?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
You love his plain speaking, straight shooting, no nonsense approach to solving callers' problems. You tune into his nationally syndicated talk show every day to hear the wise insight and savvy advice he gives to his callers.
You see, caller, what you got there is a can opener. You use it to open cans.
A can opener? Huh. I never made the connection. Thanks, Mr. Obvious. You're a lifesaver.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for, caller.
He's Mr. Obvious, America's favorite answer man. There's not a situation that he can't handle with his sage-like wisdom and his quick draw wit.
Well, waste not, want not, caller.
And now, Bob and Tom Productions is proud to present a side of Mr. Obvious you never heard before.
Ah, I hit my head. Damn, that's smart. Uh-oh. Oh, was my mic on?
Now you can hear for the first time the Mr. Obvious that the censors didn't want you to hear.
Oh.
It's Mr. Obvious, too hot for radio. Mr. Obvious, too hot for radio. We can't even play it for you in this commercial. It's just too hot.
So, Mr. Obvious, I can't figure out why it's not working.
Oh, well, I can tell you why it's not working.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
It's because you're a stupid idiot. That's why it's not working, you dumb.
Cut. John, you can't say that on the air.
Look, I'm sorry, but what the this dip doesn't even know how to operate his toaster? Come on, Bill. Don't we have anyone screening these damn calls?
All right. Settle down, John.
Don't settle down, John, me. And where the are those pictures I was supposed to see? Get down on the phone. If I don't get those pictures in here by 2 o'clock, I'm going to walk off this mother. You hear me, Bill? Hey, I'm not you. I've got money. You know what that means, Bill? That means I've got enough money that I can say you, Bill. Now give me some decent callers on the phone. These calls are ponderous, man. Ponderous.
All right, John. We'll take care of it.
And where's my orange smoothie? Damn did. I asked for a Kim Orange smoothie like 20 minutes ago.
Mr. Obvious. Raw. Uncut. Uncensored.
So you see my point, caller?
But no, I don't, Mr. Obvious. That's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. What did you say, you piece of
heard me.
Look, well, we've got caller ID. I'm going to have a couple of my gorillas down there getting medieval on your ass. How do you like that, Mr. Tuffy? Huh? I'll make you think stupidest thing you ever heard. I'll be watching from my yacht while the cops are fishing your bloated carcass out of the river next week, pal.
Hey, look, take it easy, Mr. Obvious. I was just kidding.
Oh, yeah, just kidding, huh? Sounds like you just made the connection, right? You just made the connection, didn't you, mother?
To order Mr. Obvious too hot for radio, call 1-800-EAT. That's 1-800-EAT.
And so, Mr. Obvious, that was the last time I ever saw her alive.
Oh, I'm sorry, caller. You've obviously mistaken me for someone who gives a
don't be a moron. Order your tapes today. Holy.
Oh my
God.
So that was me. The first thing I just want to say is that the last thing that they say, it's bleeped a-hole, I'd imagine. When I was a kid, I didn't know that you couldn't say that because you can say ass in other contexts.
Yeah.
And so I thought he was saying f-hole. F-hole? And so I put that into my Rolodex of insults, and I'd call my older brother one, and he goes, that's not even a real insult. And I go, well, chick says it.
Aww.
That's such a good bit.
That is. That's, I always love that you can hear Chick doing the announcer and doing Mr. Obvious and then laughing over it, like all the ways that you hear him. And with everybody, whenever they do multiple voices like that, I always get a kick out of that. I feel like a kid, like when I first realized that that was what was going on, I'm just like I was in on the secret.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what? Yeah. No, you're telling me both of those people are Eddie Murphy? I don't believe you.
Oh, no. All the time as a kid. And then even like, I remember our family discussing, is that... A little bit later. Is that Donnie Baker?
Right.
He kind of sounds like Kenny. Is Donnie also a sales guy? But no, with Chick, I don't think I realized that he was Mr. Obvious for a long time.
Yeah.
I just assumed it might have been the guy that played the Pope or, you know, caller.
Right.
Like, who's Bill in this?
Michael Young.
Okay.
Michael Young used to do production. He was track guy around here.
Yeah.
And then the thing, and then Chick also, like the Mr. Obvious, it's not like a big impression. Like obviously a Donnie or a Kenny Tarmac is kind of a big impression. It's a total voice change. Mr. Obvious, it's really subtle. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, it's like pretty stellar character work.
Another step behind the curtain. When Chick gets upset in real life, his voice does get that high. Like I was like, oh my gosh, he does. He says it exactly like that when he really gets upset.
When he goes, damn it, I ordered an orange smoothie like 20 minutes ago. That always made me laugh as a kid. When we said we were going to do this, that was the first thing that came to my head. And then I messaged a few buddies and I was like, hey, what is your favorite bit? Mm-hmm. And I asked my friend Tim McLaughlin, who's a stand-up comedian from Indianapolis. He lives in New York now. Really, really funny. And I thought it was going to take a while because I didn't want to bug anybody. And it was kind of early in the morning. I figured he wouldn't be up. Yeah. And just right up, Mr. Obvious, too hot for radio. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those bits that you really remember and it sticks with you. Because I think everyone loves Mr. O and like all the different sort of adventures we get to see Chick and Dean go on through those characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so fun.
I'd have to say it might be the perfect bit for this show.
It
really is for, I mean, how many times have we all heard that? And I'm laughing for real still to this day. Willie was losing his mind over here with the mics off.
It's really, because it's just really funny. And also, I might be really biased because I love Chick and Dean.
Yeah,
and
right.
I've known them since I was a little tiny baby. And I do think they're like two of the funniest people that I know, funniest people. And it just delivers. Mm-hmm. It's such a funny premise and they hit it every time. And I love getting the little snippets into the Mr. Obvious, like when they say, you know, Mr. Obvious, and well, actually, that's a can opener.
Yeah.
Just little things like that, because a whole Mr. Obvious, but you can't do little jokes like that. You have to focus on sort of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's so funny. I could write 10 of those Mr. Obvious, but it's only two people, only two lines. One person gets each line. I mean, that's just such a funny, it's great. I just really enjoy it.
It is, and I think that it's been so successful and still is when they occasionally write one today, in that they sit in there and they write what is going to make them laugh.
Yep.
They write that for them. Like, this is funny to us. And that's not easy to do. And people also enjoy it. But that Too Hot for Radio, they wrote that for everybody. They're like, this is going to kill. They had to know.
And it has so many pieces in it. Bob had hit his head live on the air, yeah. And they took that because that was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the Casey Kasem thing was the whole orange smoothie thing, which they had played on the air.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, that was a real off. It's basically, if I would have recorded, you know, the guys in here going off on something, and then I sent it out the back door, if you will. So that happened at Casey Kasem with the whole orange smoothie. Where's the pictures? Where I asked him 20. I mean, it's all Chick is literally reenacting the whole Casey Kasem meltdown.
Gotcha.
But my favorite part of it is where you started here, Willie, with the can opener. It's you use it to open can. He's being innocent. It's the innocent. Mm-hmm. But then we get super dark,
yes,
vengeful. Not dark, vengeful. Mr. Obvious. Mm-hmm. About, you know, he's going to have his people come. He's got FU money. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. he lit him up.
Who wrote this? Did everyone kind of come? Like,
these are usually Dean and Chick. Yeah.
But you never know back then. It could have been a Marty kind of gave him a little idea.
And what about like Roger Naylor? Did he write any?
I don't know about this one.
Yeah.
Don't know about this one.
Yeah, I think
he could have.
Yeah, I know he wrote another Big Mr. O.
The watching someone get tortured while they're on a yacht, that has my dad. That is my dad all over it.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, try me, wise guy. I'll be sitting in my Suburban, you know. That's his version of that.
I also like this has sort of a Seinfeld feel when you didn't know what Kramer's real name was. Mm-hmm. It was Cosmo. Mm-hmm. This was like a same thing for me. We learned Mr. Obvious's first name was John.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And then Michael Young is the producer. Yeah. Take it easy, John.
Yeah.
He didn't call him Mr. Obvious, of course.
That was so
He
good.
Called him John.
Can we acknowledge that Captain Obvious is a direct ripoff of Mr. Obvious? Where's that money?
Okay. So
you can't just become a captain. All of a sudden, it's.
If you ask my dad, he actually thinks he should get. But I don't know. There's a lot of parallel thought going on. Really?
He really does.
That's BS.
Well, I was with him when the commercial first came on, and he was like mouth dropped open, and I was like, "Are you serious? You think this is yours?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do."
Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? In the song,
Easy Stuff.
In the song, My Stupid Mouth by John Mayer, he says, "Just call me Captain Obvious." Maybe they took it from John Mayer. Probably not, no.
Or he did his research. He's like, well, there's already a Mr.
There's already a Mr. I got to change
it respect. I don't want to be Dr. Obvious.
Yeah, John Mayer had the decency.
Yeah.
One of my favorite John Mayer songs, by the way.
That's yeah.
Oh, I love
it's a great song.
Yeah.
I like it. The one thing I don't like is that he ends the song and then he goes, one more thing. That's like a Godwin bit. That is not a John Mayer bit. That
I'm
is
not a big John Mayer fan. Wait, he ends the song?
He ends the song.
Saying one more thing and it doesn't happen?
He ends the song. Mm-hmm. The song is over. And then he goes, one more thing. Yeah. Why is it my fault? There's a whole new verse, whole new chorus.
Yeah.
What?
It's kind of hokey. I mean, it's on his first acoustic album.
Right.
You know what? Me and Jess will talk about this on our podcast, Talking JM.
Although I feel like In Vogue and Salt-N-Pepa did that with What a Man. No, it's fine.
That's true.
Why'd you come back? Why'd you go away?
But I liked it in that one. I John Mayer, no.
Anyway,
no.
The Bob and Tom fan base, you can all tweet at whatever that company is that ripped off Mr. Obvious. And
is it insurance?
It's some sort of insurance.
I thought it was travel hotels or something.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, but mm-hmm. I don't have any.
We will take.
This is a whole other topic, but you know, this show has been sued a few times. Why don't we return the favor a little bit?
I don't think I knew that.
Come on now.
And then we'll just before we move on to the next thing, the phrase "I will go medieval on your ass."
Yes.
Chef's kiss to that. That is just great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those you hear it and you're like, oh, that's going in my quiver.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those
yeah.
things when like you almost get in a bar fight or whatever, and you're walking back to your car, you're like, I should have said that. Oh God, I should have said. Medieval on your end. Next time.
Next time.
Okay, cool. So let's go into the next bit, right?
Sure, let's do it. Here we go.
Oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, 18 wheels on a big rig. Everybody, here we go. Oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, 18 wheels on a big rig. And they're rolling, 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 rolling. Let's back them up. Here we go. Oh, there's 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 4, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wheels on a big rig. Okay, just the even numbers. Oh, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. Wheels on a big rig.
Yeah.
And they're rolling, 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 rolling. Okay, just the odd numbers. Here we go. Oh, there's 1, 3, 5, 7,
9, 11, 11, 13, 13, 15,
17 wheels. Oh. Oh, you're so smart in math, yeah. Okay, well, how about Roman numerals, Mr. Smart Bob? Oh, there's I, wheels on a big ring, and they're rolling, 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 rolling. Okay, get out your risk calculator. Let's divide the wheels by pi. Here we go. Oh, there's 3.14185551212901346800. And they're rolling, 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 rolling.
All right, 18 Wheels on a Big Rig. That was me. I was 8 years old when that came out and I heard it. And I was just like, this is funny. And they messed up. And it was like in my brain, I was like, how can you not do it perfectly and it still be so funny? And that's probably when the wheel started to turn, like, of organic comedy, and how that was so much funnier than somebody writing a funny song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the studio version. It's the live performance version, and there's so much to it. I remember as a kid, I definitely played that at camp.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I acted like that was my song because it's great, and you could get away with it because you're at camp.
Oh, nobody,
oh my god! And it's so funny, and you can do it in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the great, and it's funny if you're a kid, and it's funny if you're an adult.
It was a family sing-along right at our house where we all sang it. That was hilarious. We could not wait to get to Roman numerals and just be like, just see if we could do it every single time.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, staring into my little brothers and brothers just being, I, X. Also, that song is how I learned how Roman numerals work.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I go, what is that? Why is he just saying random letter? And,
right.
Well, no, he's doing Roman. Oh, my God. Yeah.
The Super Bowl and Haywood Bank song.
Yes, exactly. Very true. Yes. Very true. Yeah.
And then that song is one of my favorite show moments, little things that happen in a song when Bob just knocks the odd numbers out of the park,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes on the next one and he's struggling. And then Haywood goes, oh, look at you, Mr. Smart Bob. Because
yeah.
that never happened. No one ever really challenged Bob.
No, never.
It can go to Chick and go to my dad, but he was always kind of the cool guy, kind of in control. Mm-hmm. And for Haywood to kind of just rip at him mm-hmm. in a song, it's so fun. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, for me, that's like the timestamp. I don't know if that was Haywood's first big, like, home run with the show, but in my brain it is. I really couldn't go back to anything else, but Haywood was, like, at that age, like I said, like, 8 years old, he was hilarious. I mean, still hilarious, mm-hmm. but hilarious in a way that I'm listening to something that's adult, and I'm getting it, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I'm not gonna get in trouble. So.
Oh, yeah.
So.
When you're a kid, yeah, this is the one, when we could listen, when, like, my friends would get in the car,
right.
and there was a Bob and Tom CD, this is one that we didn't have to skip.
Right.
This is one that we could play for everybody.
It's so true.
Yeah, I feel like this was a late 80s bit.
Yeah.
And there's only so many bits that have really survived.
Yeah, that's
through
true.
Through the 80s. And the part of the way you can tell it's the late 80s one, Chick, I didn't really hear Chick or Christy on it.
Not at all.
And I say late 80s, might have been mid 80s.
Well, it's on a 1989 album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
definitely pre that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's Pat Carlini on there.
But, yeah, that
she's
is,
giggling
that's true.
A little bit there. But one of the keys and one of my favorite parts is that you get that Tom laugh
mm-hmm.
from those days.
That is a very specific laugh.
Yeah, it's those 80s and even some mm-hmm. 90s when he gets up. I mean, he still kind of does that high-pitchy
On occasion
now, but this one, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, and I love this one too because I remember the first time my kids heard it and it was like, and they loved it. And Max, I still have a lot of those CDs. And he played it, and it was just like, oh, this is pretty cool that this is spanned, you know, two generations, and I get to watch him enjoy something that I really loved. Yeah.
Yeah, it shows you the brilliance. Special. Yeah, it shows you the brilliance of the piece that, you know, and your grandkids probably will listen to that and laugh.
Yeah.
Because how could they not?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
How could they not?
Yeah. It's been said, but that is the genius of Haywood Banks.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And you just wonder, obviously, he's on the road all the time. And, like, is he just, he's on the road and he comes up with that song, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
yeah.
And just gets silly with it. And, oh, what all can I do with it? All right, we'll do Roman numerals. We'll do it backwards. We'll, you know.
And I don't know if I'm the only one. I can't be. But whenever he has been in the studio, like, we'll be in the green room or I'll walk in there and he's in there, I'm just like, oh gosh, this guy is so smart and funny. Like, I don't even know what to say right now. And I don't want to sound stupid. And how do I say I love you? And, you know, all these things. But he is, like, his brain is working in a way that I could never, I'm not on that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know anybody. I mean, I don't know anyone in radio or from the show. And so working here, even for a few years, it's like, oh, cool, you get to meet people and stuff, and met Haywood. But then we went to Cincinnati for the opening day broadcast. And the night before, Haywood and his wife had dinner with us. And I had to sit by. I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit by Haywood. I don't know what to say. It's going to get weird. I don't know what to do with my hands. I can't get a salad, too much forking. So it's like got fries and something that was really easy to eat. It was weird. Just because I'm like, I don't want to sit next to Haywood. What do you do?
Yeah.
He's the greatest. I can pretty vividly remember the morning he came in here to do Big Butter Jesus, and it was kind of like one of those things where I was talking about my dad coming in with a song. He kind of just sat down. He was just, I kind of got a good. He knew it was going to be great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was always, when I was a kid in the green room, he was a guy that I would be happy to let in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're familiar with him, and he knows, so he's not here with some weird booker that I have to talk to, and you know, it was always great being around Haywood as a kid.
Yeah.
And just when you're a kid, he dresses. We all know he's a genius. He dresses very eccentrically. Mm-hmm. When you're like, who is this weird guy? I love him. He is crazy.
Yeah, I actually, Willie, I'm surprised, like, you don't have some of those, like, you didn't, seeing him and going, I want to do that. Like, I want to have, like, something quirky or do, I'm going to have long white hair. I'm not sure. But just being exposed to that much talent and such a rainbow of people, like, that you don't have, like, some weird quirk, mm-hmm. really.
Well, maybe this is because his kid, Coulter, lived in town for a while, and he was my babysitter for a little while growing up. And I remember just looking at him going, how the hell are you so regular? What is going on with you?
Yeah.
You dress like a regular dude? Oh, Coulter was the best.
That's cool.
All right, should we get into another bit?
I tell you, let's do one more.
Yeah, cool.
And I say we've hit the ground running pretty well here.
Good.
For sure. So let me pull it up here, because that would have been great if it hit the button and nothing played. but yeah, let's end it with this and we chat afterwards.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Spit Take Theater.
Yes.
This week's Spit Take Theater presentation, A Death in the Family.
Hey, listen, thanks a lot for letting me stay here until we get Mom's memorial service put together.
Oh, no problem.
Really appreciate it.
After all, you're my little brother.
Well, thanks.
It's okay.
Man, it's just all so sudden. Last time I talked to her, she was in great health.
No, she was sick. Kind of sick, but she just wasn't one to...
Yeah.
Wasn't one to complain, really.
I had no idea. But,
I enjoy you, being here. Oh. Kind of lonely here without Mom around.
I bet. So, you know. Probably pretty quiet around here, huh?
Yeah, it's very, very quiet.
And by the way, this is delicious. I didn't realize what a cook you are.
That is good, isn't it?
Wow, this is one of the best meals I've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. Meat is most unusual.
More peas?
No, none for me, thanks. Listen, while we're on the subject of Mother, something I've kind of been needing to tell you.
What's that?
Well, I've got a confession to make. I never really cared for Mother.
Never really cared for Mother.
Well, I mean, I know we ever talked about it, but...
What do you mean? You've had two helpings.
This has been Spit Take Theater. Join us next week for another edition of Spit Take Theater.
Oh, my God.
What a great bit.
Oh my gosh, so morbid. I feel like that's when that morbid humor was introduced, or that I understood it and was like, ah, this is funny.
Yeah. So yeah. It's another kind of the classic sort of friendship, whatever you want to call it, Chick and Dean together on something, which I always love having that.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really love about this is how it gets funnier with re-listens, because once you figure out the turn that's coming, the idea when Dean goes, yeah, well, you know, Mother said she was healthy. No, she was sick. She was sick. You know, it's
you're able to enjoy it more when you know what the punchline is, because everything kind of was like, okay, where are we going? Where are we going? And then when you know the destination, you're like, oh, wow, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny, too. Yeah. Yeah,
well, there's nothing better than the first time, because I did not see it coming. And you're just, what? Why? This is so weird. There's not been any punchlines, really. Yeah. There's that weird, like, fork sound in the background. It's kind of irritating me. Yeah. And then it all just contributes to this huge payoff.
I want to know who really did the spit take at the end, because they nailed it, whoever it was. And then obviously Bob's laugh just makes everything great. But yeah,
that, to your point of when you know the punchline, I start listening to the other, you know, finding the subtle humor, when more peas.
Yeah.
And just the, when he goes, hey, I got something to say. And you hear a little clank, like he puts down his fork. You know, there's just little things in there just building up to it that are just fantastic.
And I think that's like, that's applaud Dean on his production.
Oh,
he's just so good. Like, he just creates this whole story in such beautiful detail. And it's so, and anytime, I don't know how Dean can be the straight guy, literally play Dean, and it still be funny.
He's good at improv. You know how many spit takes he probably recorded, too?
Oh, yeah.
There's probably like 100 spit takes to get the perfect one.
And I just like the idea of your spit take theater. You hear the spit take, you go, okay, that was kind of a weird bit, and you've had five helping. What? I just love that.
What was the first spit take theater?
It was not that one.
Okay. No.
I'd have to look it up.
I'm
there's
not
about
sure.
There's only about four or five of them.
That's what I thought.
But
yeah.
That one to me is the most memorable one for some reason.
That's their Stairway to Heaven for
sure. Yeah, kind of what. Yeah. Yeah, they had their first few albums, but that one is the one that really knocked it out.
Well, and I like that when the bit starts, you go, presenting spit take theater. And I don't know who it is. Someone just goes, yes.
Yes, someone did say yes.
And I don't know, because I couldn't imagine that Chick would have said it.
No.
Maybe it was a guest that was in that day, but they would have to be familiar with the show. So I don't know who said yes, but I love that.
Maybe Jay Baker. Is that possible?
Could have been a Jay. Yeah.
Is that the very beginning? Can you just play the very beginning?
Yeah, give me a second. Give me a second.
And just the thing that I like about it, though, is that like the thing we were talking about earlier is like the laughter, is it canned? And the fact that it's just people having fun. And that yes is the ultimate display of how much fun people were having.
Yeah, here we go.
Hello and welcome to Spit Take Theater.
Yes.
This week.
Like you found $20 in your pocket.
Yes.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
That's like a chick a little bit.
But it's genuine. Yeah. It is genuine.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This is Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold, joined by Jess Hooker and Jessica Alsman. Jason Offset's our producer. You got anything to say?
Well, I was going to say, how do you all want to be contacted if, say, someone wanted to go, yes, I remember 18 Wheels.
Yeah,
that felt good.
Yeah,
is there a best way?
Yeah, I'm at Jess Hooker _ on all social media, and you can send me a message there.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at JN Alsman, Alsman. You can at me and tell me that Dear Penthouse was from 1993 on the Lollapalooza's album. And how did I not know that? I work at the show and I don't even know. Sorry.
And then, yeah, if you want to question if Tom's my actual father, it's at Willie Griswold, and it's willie.griswold on Instagram and Jess Willie Griswold on Twitter.
Awesome.
Oh, Instagram, I'm at Jessica Alsman. I got to get that figured out.
That's okay. You're good.
There's too many things.
I know.
It's hard.
It is hard.
All right. This was fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.